First, I have no idea where I am. Could be in a cave, might be a pit. The most far-fetched theory I have is it's the belly of a fish. I'm sure it's not, because I have a passing familiarity with fish anatomy, and so I'm pretty sure it isn't a fish. But after 3 days, I'm full of doubts. Never been inside a giant fish, so who's to say? Who is to say? But I've never been in a pit or the depths of hell either, so everything is on the table. I am full of doubt. And being full of doubt is what brought me here. Have you ever been called to do something? Doesn't have to be a mystical calling. You could get called for jury duty or to help your mom move some furniture. But the type of calling I'm referring to is the type that if you didn't show up, you're pretty sure it'd be fine without you, and that your presence is just a setup for failure. I need to do a show for the radio. But here's the thing. They want me to do the show. But if I don't, someone else will. So is it really necessary? And what do I do? What do I do? When there's an audience, there's expectations. What does the audience expect? Should I try to guess what that is and do that? Try to be popular or well-received? Some say, follow your heart. And what if that's the opposite of what's expected? Follow my heart to where? To rejection? Why would I want to do that? Why be treated as something that betrays you? I doubt my heart, mainly because it's a lump of fatty, bloody flesh. So yuck. My spirit, well, that heart? I don't even know what that is. So when confronted with this dilemma, I ran. I ran here to this cave or fish or whatever it is because I was faced with an impossible task. Succeed and look like a failure, or fail and look like a success. You probably feel the same thing, don't you? That you're being set up by having this awareness of consequences. In the movies, sometimes they find entire boats in fish's bellies with men on them playing cards or something. But this place is blacker than the darkest night, and I suppose the card-playing men could be right next to me, staying silent while I rave and rant in my self-centered agony. Or maybe I'm the king of the pit, the center of a dark, lonely universe. In an ideal world, the pit would spit me out, and I'd do my show, and the listeners would hear it and be changed, and I'd look the fool and go on my way, bitter and forgotten. I'm complaining about not having comfort when lives are at stake. Pathetic, right? Pathetic. I know that there's mercy and second chances and hope, and that people are going to find what they need. I want to be exceptional. I want to do something. It's like, you know, there's always going to be cakes. So I want to make the ornate decorations on top. Is that wrong? Cakes are going to get built. Why do I have to do it? Why do I have to make the cake? But that's what I must do. Regardless, staying in this place is just temporary. I'm going to die if I try to live in a fish's belly. So it's out into the light, time to do something and accept the consequences. I can't freeze time. You can freeze fish, but only for so long, right? And then what happens exactly? The cells explode or something, turns to mush, stops being a neat little hideaway and turns into a putrid, fetid mess. So vomit me out, fish, onto the beach. And I'll stand in front of a people I don't know and tell them what I think is true, and that'll be that. And then when my dire predictions don't come true, they'll all live in peace and assume that I didn't know what I was talking about. A fool. I'm a fool. I'm a fool in a fish. In a fish.
What's the matter, Mo? You look blue.
It's probably because he had to sign our paychecks. That always makes him sad.
No, you guys are worth it.
What? He's not depressed. He's lost his mind.
Oh, stop it, Oliver. Mo, what's wrong?
I can't stop thinking about the science fair I was supposed to judge. I think I really messed it up.
How?
I picked the wrong kid. I was in a hurry to get out of there instead of trying to understand all the experiments. I just went with the funniest one.
Funniest one? I don't think that's how you judge science. Funniest doesn't mean best.
If it did, we wouldn't be on the air.
Oh, stop it, Oliver. I think he's really upset.
What if I really screwed some kid's life up because I didn't take the time to try and understand something? There could have been genius right in front of me, and I was too impatient to notice.
Like these show notes you still haven't gone over. There's genius right in front of you now, and it's funny.
I have to try to make up for my mistake. From now on, I'm going to be more thoughtful.
Are you sure you didn't drink one of those experiments at the science fair? Our Mo Hyde has become Mo Jekyll.
I'm serious, Onions. I'm turning over a new leaf. The first thing that has to go is the laugh track.
But how will the audience know when to laugh?
Oh, they'll figure it out.
Comedies without a laugh track just sound avant-garde to me. Like the performers don't care whether you laugh or not.
Well, I don't.
Well, then how is that comedy? Mo, you drive me crazy. See? Mo, you drive me crazy. That's a laugh line. Oh.
Sorry I'm late. There was a terrible accident on the highway. Did I say something funny? Oh, no, Uncle Hans. I was just getting some sound effects together for the show. I thought maybe I was having a flashback to my performance days. Oh, listen, they still love me. I don't even have to have any new material.
Do you miss performing, Uncle Hans?
Oh, yes, boy. There's nothing better than the adulation of countless strangers.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
But your family loves you so much. Is having a crowd who doesn't really know you better than the love of your family?
It's different. I love my family and wouldn't trade you for all the tea in China. Unless, of course, it was very expensive aged pu'er. But the feeling of being on stage and having the admiration of all those people, it's something that cannot be described. In my family, I am important, but no more important than anyone else. We are all loved and equal, but on the stage, I am at the center of the world, and to be in a crowd, and the one thing they agree upon is that you're marvelous. Well, there's no feeling like having the whole world accept you.
But I think it's a bit of an illusion.
So what? I like illusions.
Sorry about that. You know, I can see how it'd be a great feeling to be accepted by the whole world, but I like being an equal. I like being part of a family.
I do too, or I wouldn't be here. It's just that, don't we all want to feel special? When you're born, the first way you're treated is as if you are special, the center of the world. Everyone oohs and ahs over your mere presence. Your every need is just a scream away. But then you slowly find out that you have to share that love, that you're a worker and not the prince.
Unless you're the prince.
Even then, you might have to go into the army or something.
Well, you might not have crowds applauding you anymore, but I sure do love you and value you.
You do, boy?
Of course, Uncle Hans. You're one of the reasons I went into radio.
But I predicted you'd be an actor and told you about all the pain and disappointment and rejection.
I know, that's why I didn't do it. And instead, I did something different, and I'm much happier.
But I ended up not being right.
Well, you may not have been right, but you saved me from misery.
But I like being right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Thanks for stopping for food, Grant Black. I like to top off the tank. If it gets too low, the sediment can clog the injectors.
No problem, boy.
How's your Welsh rarebit?
Well, it's pretty good.
I used to think it was called Welsh rabbit. Conversely, I thought the old fable was called Rarebit and the Hare.
You mean tortoise and the hare?
Yeah, see how wrong I was? Also, my uncle was a Welshman, Dafydd Gwilym. My aunt used to make him a dish called English monkey, which I think was revenge for Welsh rarebit.
Well, it's pretty good, but I hope it doesn't give me nightmares.
My fish is good. I usually don't eat fish, but I had an urge to put one inside me.
That's sort of a reverse Jonah.
Jonah? Like Jonah and the Whale? Or the 1969 Wayne Newton movie, 80 Steps to Jonah?
Jonah. From the Bible. And it wasn't a whale, it was a fish.
I'm pretty sure whales aren't fish, but go on.
Jonah was a prophet.
I don't know that I ever read that book. I'm more familiar with it through Father Mapple's sermon in Moby Dick. Shipmates, this book, containing only 4 chapters, 4 yarns, is one of the smallest strands in the mighty cable of the scriptures. Yet what depths of the soul Jonah's deep sea line sounds. What a pregnant lesson to us, this prophet. What a noble thing is that canticle in the fish's belly. How billow-like and boisterously grand. We feel the flood surging over us. We sound with him to the kelpy bottom of the waters. Seaweed and all the slime of the sea is about us. But what is this lesson that the book of Jonah teaches?
Well, that's pretty good.
No, I'm asking, what is this lesson that the book of Jonah teaches?
Well, you see, he's the only successful prophet in the Bible. But he doesn't want to even do it. And when he does, he thinks he's failed.
What do you mean, Grant Black?
All the other prophets turn out to be right. If they say that the worst will happen, it does. But Jonah tells Nineveh the worst will happen, and they repent. And then the worst doesn't happen. So he saves them.
Oh, so he's wrong, but he ends up being successful.
Yes.
Woe to him whose good name is more to him than goodness. That's from Moby Dick.
Yes, sir. Would you rather be right or do good? Warning people can be thankless, especially if they listen.
I see. Everyone wants to say, "I told you so."
Yes.
Everyone wants to be at the center of things, even if it's the center of a fish.
See how crazy that is?
Oh, yeah.
Then you need to listen to me, boy. You have to do something very important.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not good at doing important things. I'm not even allowed to have my own box cutter at work.
You have to warn Mosehowitz.
The old-time radio guy?
Yes.
I hate to say no, but I think he's both fictional and dead, if that's even possible.
We are in a special place, boy, where every possibility remains open. The world of open doors.
I'll be. I thought something seemed strange.
Don sent you here.
I don't super remember any of this. I just assumed we were dead.
No, not dead. Well, dead and alive at the same time.
Ew.
You must find Mo and warn him that he is going to judge the science fair wrong. And when he does, he's going to discourage a certain young boy. And that boy will never go on and become a scientist. And if he doesn't, all of humankind will be gone.
My mom sent me to the post office to buy stamps once, and I ended up losing $50, her car, and the post office burned to the ground. So I'm just warning you.
You are meant to do this.
So, I get to save the human race?
Yes.
I'll be famous.
No, not at all. No one will ever know.
Well, that's kind of a bummer.
And you can never tell anyone.
What?
Will you do it?
So, you want me to go make a fool out of myself, save humankind, and that's it?
Yes.
Can I think about it?
No. It has to be the next place we go.
Well, I guess I'll do it. I feel like I don't have a choice.
I knew I could count on you.
Man, the last thing I want to do is judge a science fair. In high school, I didn't even pass science class. Well, I passed it on my way to the bathroom for a smoke, but they gave me an F. What do they know? I'm just going to get this over with as quickly as possible and get back to the studio.
Hey, Butchie!
My name ain't Butchie, pal.
Oh, sorry. You look like a friend of mine.
Well, you don't look like a friend of mine.
Sorry about that. I'm Lou Register, by the way.
Mosehowitz. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm on my way to a very important scientific conference.
Mosehowitz? From the radio?
Yeah. You've heard of my show?
Of course. I listen to it every... the day it's on.
Oh, sure you do.
Anyway, I like it when you give a hard time to Oliver Onions.
Oh, so you do listen. Well, it's always a pleasure to meet a fan, especially briefly. So if you'll excuse me...
Just one more thing, Mr. Zahowitz. I know this sounds crazy, but you're on your way to judge a science fair, right?
How do you know about that? Is this a gag?
No. I just need to warn you. You're about to make a mistake.
I beg your pardon? I don't make mistakes, so as anyone would notice.
You're about to pick the wrong kid to win, and that could have very bad consequences.
Now listen here. I don't know who put you up to this, but I'll pick whatever kid I want.
Well, I'm just here to warn you.
So, just out of curiosity, which kid do I pick to prevent a catastrophe?
I don't know. All I know is you're about to pick the wrong one.
So, you don't know who I'm going to pick, but whoever it is definitely wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, that's helpful. If the whole fate of humanity rested on your shoulders, buddy, we'd be in for a lot of trouble.
I told Grant Black I wasn't cut out for this.
Who?
Grant Black.
Grant Black? How do you know that name?
We're friends. He sent me here.
Now listen, you joker. That ain't funny. I don't know who put you up to this, but this has gone way too far.
Well, I told you, so I did my job. Now it's like mildew. You can't say you didn't see it.
What did you say? Mildew?
Yeah.
Oh, my dear God.
Yeah, I'm like Jonah.
Jonah? Oh, this can't be real. I'm dreaming. The Grant Black?
Yeah, like I said.
You're some sort of angel. No, no, this is a joke. Someone's really messing with my head, and it's not funny. You hear me? It's not funny, whoever you are.
Look, man, this isn't a practical joke. Grant Black said you're going to pick the wrong kid at the science fair, and that'll discourage him from being a real scientist.
I don't know what's going on, but if this is real, who do I pick?
I don't know. Who are you going to pick?
I have no clue. I'm not there yet.
Well, just do the opposite of what you would have done.
Okay.
Sorry if this is upsetting.
No, no. Thanks. What was your name again?
Jonah.
Thanks, Jonah.
Don't mention it.
Oh, man, this is crazy. Oh, well, here I am. Oh, please, Grant Black, if this is really you who sent this guy, please let me do the right thing. Well, I guess I have to read some of these signs. Too many words. Hey, kid, tell me about your science fair project.
I spray-painted a turd, and now I have a golden poop.
Okay. And what's this? Hey, tell me about your project.
I investigated the epigenetic regulation of gene expression in induced pluripotent stem cells to determine how cellular reprogramming occurs.
Oh, man! That's great! Oh, perfect! First prize.
I'm back. Totally forgot why I went out to the truck, though. Hey, my library salad is here. Yum. So, you guys were talking about going to a library. You ever get around to it?
What library?
Butchie was saying how it'd be neat to own a hotel.
I'm pretty sure I didn't use the word neat.
This salad looks good, but I should have ordered the fish.
Shemp jive, everyone.
Shemp jive, Butchie.
Please read in unison. If we imagine that someone enjoys something that only one can possess, we shall strive to bring about that he does not possess it. Turn to chapter 9, please. Woe to him who seeks to please rather than to appall. Woe to him whose good name is more to him than goodness.
Woe to him who in this world courts not dishonor.
Woe to him who would not be true, even though to be false were salvation.
From the belly of Sheol I cried out, and you heard my voice.
You cast me into the depths, into the heart of the sea.
The flood engulfed me. All your breakers and billows swept over me.
I thought I was driven away, out of your sight. Would I ever gaze again upon your holy temple?
The waters closed in over me. The deep engulfed me.
Weeds twined around my head. I sank to the base of the mountains.
The bars of the earth closed upon me forever. Yet you brought my life up from the pit.
What are you guys doing? You're making a racket.
We're building an ark for your show.
This show isn't about Noah, it's about Jonah. Right. There's no ark.
Sure there is. Jonah Ark.
Nice Ark. There. It's a little small.
It's a 10th scale model of the Pequod.
You know, it's very nice. It's seaworthy, but it doesn't float. All right. Well, I appreciate it, you guys. Use it in good health.
to the Hardy White Riverboat Tour. We ask you to keep your hands and feet inside the boat at all times. You may, though, stick your bottom over the side of the boat. However, this may compromise your center of gravity, thus violating the first two rules. So it's best to keep all of you inside the boat at this time. Thank you. I direct your attention to the port side of the vessel at this time. You will see, if you look off into the distance there, a very large house on a hill. This house has, believe it or not, 7 kitchens. Yes, you heard me right, 7 kitchens. Mr. and Mrs. Kitchen and their 4 children. You may say, well, that's only 6 kitchens. Yes, because they also have a proper kitchen. And their mother-in-law lives with them, but she's a bathroom. A surname changed from the original French, Salle de Bain avec douche. That's a mouthful. On the starboard side of the vessel, if you look off into the distance, you will see a giant dog. That enormous dog is Meemaw's dog, Muffin. Muffin jumped overboard on this very boat 5 years ago and has survived on that island on a diet of black rush grass and puppy snacks. It has grown to an enormous size. You don't want it to bite your genitals now. Oh, Muffin, you silly puppy. If you look into the water, you're going to see all sorts of fish. Please don't jump in there trying to avoid your fate, or you might be consumed by one of them, or a whole school of fish. There is, in fact, a school for fish located in one of the larger fish, a university fish. University fishes are very, very large, and they contain multitudes. Various buildings named after benefactors and alumni. In them, you can be evaluated and have your skills measured against others. Then you'll be certified to go off and do something, and then you'll be billed every day for the rest of your life. That's fishing. I direct your attention to the port side of the starboard stern foreground area. Now, I don't know much about boats. This is the first one I've ever been on. I hate to confess that. A lot of people won't admit that they don't know what they're doing, but I sure don't. The only reason I'm here is I saw a microphone, and I'm always attracted to microphones because I'm a sort of show-off, and I want to be the center of attention. Hello, microphone. How y'all doing? I'm just kidding you. Yes, I got the microphone now. Y'all having a good time on the tour? I know we got a little chat. See, I'm going to invite children up to drive the boat. And the reality is, there is no actual captain of the boat. The children are really, literally, our only boat pilots. How about that? I was on a plane like that one time. They kept inviting children up to the cockpit. It turns out there was no captain. It's just children, because of their experience with video games, are absolutely competent pilots at this time. Thank you. Now, the crew and staff of this tour, they don't work for peanuts, but they do work for very, very low wage. So, if you would like to tip them on your way out, you can do that. So, if you're about to fall overboard, please leave your wallet and your PIN number. Is that what you call it? For the machine and all? Leave that. Because we'll take your money. You don't need your money where you're going. If you're going to the depths of the sea, you're going down there. So just leave it for us.
Oh, my friends, I'm so glad that you could join me today. Welcome. I just have a few chores to do. I was just getting ready to feed my pet fish, Sheol. Oh, I love watching them swim around there so free. Fishes are free to swim all anywhere they want in the confines of their very small tank. I know that's unfortunate, but it's a type of freedom, so let me feed him here. You don't want to give him too much food or he will grow to an enormous size, and then he will find out that he's actually a river spirit that's been trapped in there and everything, so I don't want that to happen. But let me feed him here, get my food out, and go, oh, he doesn't look so good. Oh, no. I think he's choking on something. I got to take him out of the tank and give him a little Heimlich maneuver. Shield, cough it up now. Come on, what's going on? You all right? Oh, no. Cough it up, Shield.
Well, hello.
Oh.
Yes, I'm a tiny little prophet, and I was in that fish escaping my fate. And now the fish has vomited me out, and I'm free to go out in the world and do what I was meant to do, whatever that is. And I'm no longer in the belly of the tiny goldfish in your tank. And it feels good to be vomited up on dry land, or in this case, into the palm of your hand. And I'd appreciate if you just put me down and send me on my way so that I can go and do what I was called to do, which is warn others to not be eaten by pet fish in an attempt to get it, to try to run away from their fate. Now, you say, what is fate? I don't know. But I was called to go be a help to people. And I was like, oh, somebody else will do it. But it turns out that there are not very many very, very tiny prophets. And say, well, I had a home business and made a tiny profit. Oh, that's funny. It's spelled differently. Did you know that? So put me on my way now, and we can, and we'll be friends later. All right, bye.
All right, bye, little tiny prophet. Oh, that was unexpected. I did not expect my pet fish to vomit up a very tiny little man there. Isn't that funny? You know, it's the last thing you expect that always happens, isn't it? No, not really. I think that usually things that you expect happen, and then when the unexpected happens, you think it's a coincidence. It's really all about odds, isn't it? You see? I mean, if you say, I think that the mailman's going to come every day at 1 o'clock, he does. But when somebody else comes, like instead of the mailman, it's, I don't know, Batman or something. And I was just talking about Batman. 100-to-1 odds, it seems unusual, but it's just one of the other things that happens in life, just less frequently. Oh, but I happen regularly, don't I? Like a bowel movement, if you're lucky. Yes. Yes. But I happen regularly every week. It's so good to visit you. I like to have a time like that. It's like elderly relatives. You say, I love you, meemaw, but I believe Tuesday is phone day. And so when you call on Wednesday, also, you see how that throws things off a bit. I'm not prepared to talk to you. Because you say, you talk to me on Tuesday, and on Wednesday you go, what's new? Nothing. I talk to my meemaw, but you know that, because you are she. And I'm he. And you know what? We're all together, like Beatles said. But they're not all together. They broke up. Isn't that funny? Everything seems ironic or irony. What is that? What is irony? That's like if something is similar to clothes pressing. Or Irish, I guess. I really don't know. That's when you think you're Irish, but it turns out you're English. That's Irish. So listen, I'm so glad we're together. What are you saying, Hardy? I don't even know. I get excited and I just talk and the words come out and they don't have any real meaning. And that's okay, too. I guess it's like sometimes I feel like speech is like music. And then if you put some sort of tune to it, speech can be like singing, because it is singing, but I don't always rhyme my words. Now, that's my fault. I apologize. So I'll think about it. I'd have to plan ahead for that. I don't think I could improvise that. Some people can. It's called freestyling. I cannot freestyle. My freestyle would be, my name is Hardy. Give me a minute. Like that. My brain doesn't really work that way. What way is that? Well, or efficiently, or quickly, or something like that. I have one of the older models. That's okay. Do I resent that? Why would I? It's what I have. It's not much I can do about it. I'm not sure I can do anything about it, truly. I'm not sure there's free will, but let's say there is. Even if there is, there's a handful of things that I can't do anything about. My fingers. There you go, whole handful. There's a whole body full I can't do anything about. I really cannot do anything about my body. You can work out. I do that. A little bit. I like to exercise. Why? Do you enjoy it? I wouldn't go that far, but it gives me a false sense of control, and I realize that, but it's getting my heart rate up sometimes does make me feel better. It's difficult to do, because your heart's like, well, hang on, I'm sleeping. But it's like anything. It's like it's hard to wake up in the morning, but once you're up, you say, hey, this job of pure drudgery isn't that bad. I'm glad I got up for it. No, but maybe a trip to an amusement park or something like that. I'm not big on amusement parks, by the way. I like other things. Like, what do you like? I like museums a lot. I like to visit artwork and paintings. That's one of my things that I like. I like paintings a lot. I wish I was a painter. Well, just paint. Yeah, okay. It's not really that easy. But I wish I kind of had studied it more, I guess is what I'm saying. What did you choose to study, Hardy? Well, here's the thing. Nothing, which was a huge mistake, because now I'm older and I think, well, I could be good at something, but I'm not going to sweat it. Regrets are terrible. Boy, it's bad to be haunted by things. As it is, I have 50 or 60 actual ghosts living in the house. So how do you all live together? Schedule? You have to be really tight about that. You have to have a calendar and say, okay, here we go. Here's who's going to haunt what room and everything. I don't want you all bumping into each other, arguing like that. Efficiency. If you're organized, you can have tons of ghosts. But it's best just not to have them to begin with. There's so many ghosts already that we should really be thinking about zero ghost population growth. I know that's controversial, but whatever. I have to tell the truth. I have to speak what's in my heart. I can't be any other way. I must. You know, would you rather be popular, Hardy? Really? Could that happen? No, I'm just saying it's hypothetical. Oh. In which case, no. No. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure you can't. All right, well then. Then I reject it. I reject anything that is not accessible anyway. Let me tell you the things I would never be. You'd never catch me being King of England. No way. Or you'd never catch me having my own TV show. Not me. Not Hardy. Isn't it easy to reject things that are just not going to happen? I love that. I really do. I'm not even being sarcastic. It makes me feel good to not be confronted with some decisions that seems like they would be difficult. Oh, I know that there's been a few references to Jonah, hasn't there? What's that all about, Hardy? Well, I can explain that, and I will, but I think I'll wait a little bit and talk about something else first. I don't want to preach. First of all, I'm not qualified, don't know what I'm talking about, and haven't lived my life in a very efficient or necessarily successful way, I don't think. So I don't know if I can give you any advice, but I can be company and help. That's where I'm going. That's what I think is important, is that, listen, I'm obviously not going to get credit for things, so I'm free. I'm free to just help. I'm free to be an equal, because I clearly don't even have to be a leader or something like that. Oh, woo! Those who are confronted with that decision, I don't know what to tell you. It must be tough, but... for me, it's been rather easy. I feel like, have you been helpful? Yeah, I actually have. Have you done anything notable, like invent the some sort of new glue? Really? We need that badly? No, not really, but I can't think of anything. No, I haven't done that, but I don't feel like I missed out on anything particularly, you know, so... So there you go. So Jonah doesn't apply to me. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. No, I know that some of you just need a little bit of encouragement and to be kept company. You're probably doing all right. And I will talk about Jonah to convince you that you're probably successful, that the biggest failures are often the greatest successes. Oh, stupid pressure from outside and other people's expectations. Oh, gosh, it's like living... with a huge weight on you. How's that? Give an analogy. All right, let's say someone says, here, take this backpack. What's in it? Kettleballs. Kettleballs, really? I'm not sure I know what that is. Is that when you make a capon after out of your kettle? No. What it is, they're kind of exercise thing, like a ball with a handle on it. Well, why do you need a handle on a ball? To pick it up. Can't you pick up the ball? Yeah, but if you want to swing it and everything, why'd you want to swing a ball? Don't worry about it. So many questions. You've got a backpack full of kettleballs. And you say, well, this is some unnecessary weight. Why do I have to have all this weight on me? Can't we put it on a cart or a dolly? Is that right? A dolly? Y'all rent dollies?
We rent hand carts.
Right. Is that not a dolly?
No, a dolly is something different.
All right. Well, I guess I need a hand cart. What's a dolly?
Don't concern yourself with it. You don't need one.
All right. Just out of curiosity. One of you is thinking, I'm going to write a musical called Hello Handcart. You ought to. You ought to do that. Do you? Follow your dreams. Follow them right off a cliff into a pit. No, don't. Make sure you know where your dreams are going first. I would ask. Say, dreams, where are you taking me?
Oh, it's a surprise.
Don't fall for that. Always get a plan. That's why I say you should file a flight plan. Why? Because the edges are rough, and you want to make it smooth. Take an emery board to your flight plan. Get it so it's not, you don't cut yourself on it. And then you'll know where you're going, and without, you know, getting all torn up like that about it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, the way we sometimes we're our own worst enemies. And you say, well, that's a kind of superlative. I guess so. Did you ever have that? You had in high school say senior superlatives. And they say, you know, something like best athlete. Worst at everything. Well, that's not a superlative. Well, I mean, you're the best at being the worst. So that's okay. Last is all right. I was always, it always bummed me out in PE class. So I was not an athletic child, and I was slightly overweight most of my life, and just slow, soft, kind of. That sounds nice, doesn't it? That's the kind of music I like, Hardy. I know, but for a teenage boy, slow and soft is not that great. I love just staying up at night and eating Fritos and drinking cola and watching the old version of Sinbad. And what would happen is during PE class, and we'd all have to run laps or something, and I'd always be last, but I wasn't last, right? There's always one kid behind me, so I wasn't even the best at being the worst. I felt bad. I go, well, I'm in the lower 5%. I guess that's an accomplishment. Later in life, I decided to get, I said, I'm going to get in shape. And that was only a few years, well, now, probably 13 years ago or something, I decided, hey, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to start running and working out, lifting weights, doing what they call burpees. First few times I did them, they were throw-uppies. But then, I never did burp. I don't know if I'm doing it right. It's like when you hit a child on the back that just ate. I'm not getting a burp out of him. You know, hit him harder. No, that's not it. It's finesse. But I started doing these more exercising and things like that. I thought, well, you know, it'll give me a sense of control, too. I'll feel better. I'll lose some weight. Is it important to lose weight? No, nothing. You're fine the way you are. I'm just talking about my own personal journey. And so I decided to do this, and I lost a lot of weight. People say, you're looking good. Well, thank you. But really, I'm doing it to feel better. Do you feel better? No, I wasn't eating enough. So now I'm back to eating terrible. But I still exercise. So it's just all about me versus French fries, really. I eat the French fries, and then I get up the next day, and I go, I guess I'm working out. So, but that's good. That's good. So I don't really look great, but it's not about that, especially at my age. What's the point? I'm not an actor, right? I'm not lonely, so I look fine. You know, I think I look all right. I don't mind. Appearances are really not important. They really aren't, said the person who has no hair. Oh, hair. Oh, hair? That's an airport, isn't it? Look at that. I just yelled the name of an airport for no reason. That's funny. I wonder if that's any meaning. Oh, my gosh. I had the worst dream last night. It didn't occur to me that it was bad until I woke up, but somebody's saying, oh, so-and-so called. I go, oh, really? I don't, really? Why are they calling me? You know, because they're moving and they're thinking maybe they could meet up with you. And that was all fine. And then when I woke up, I realized it was a dead friend. It was somebody who was dead. I was like, oh, no. The dead are calling me. They think I'm right behind them. I hope I'm not. But you never know. I could be. I hope I'm not dead when you're listening to this, because I don't mean to get anything away. It's not pre-recorded. In my life, it's not pre-recorded, because I'm speaking this live. But it could very well be. Isn't that weird? So I don't know whether you're hearing me. You're probably not hearing me live, but I don't know. How would I know anything that's obvious to everybody else? I don't know. I mean, some things, I guess, are just locally knowable, right? Once you get on a quantum scale, you go, I don't know what's going on, but I think most things are kind of knowable, like the book of Jonah. I first encountered the book of Jonah in the Bible, because that's where it is. It's sitting there. It's very short, so when you leaf through your Bible looking for it, you're going, where the heck is it? Because you keep going past it and everything, because it's only a few pages long. And you think, for something that's a few pages long, why is it so notable? Right? There's so many prophets in the Bible, like Joel. There's no movies about Joel. Right? Jeremiah. Are there movies about Jeremiah? There really aren't. So you think, well, those are notable prophets. Those are kind of major prophets. Here's one called a minor prophet. Why is Jonah a minor prophet? And all these other are major prophets, and yet Jonah is the one that it's such a common story. Jonah and the whale, blah, Moby Dick, blah, 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 gadada, bano, akatana, santabaya, palapkantapasra, karabata, seria, biplagata, tamba, form, bansan, telekalapanza. I don't know what happened just there, but I guess I got enthused and had no words. So Jonah is a very short book, but see, he's a minor prophet, but this doesn't make any sense, because what are prophets? So prophets tell, they're commanded by God to tell the future, basically, to go to somebody and say, I have seen the future, and you're going to be destroyed if you go to war here. You're going to be destroyed by your sinful behavior. Everything is going to go to heck. They don't say heck, though, all right? And most of the prophets, all of the prophets, were correct. Things really did go to heck hell. And heck hell sounds like, is old, isn't he an Appalachian musician? So they were correct. They were able to prophesize the future. But see, people died. No one listened to them. Now, Jonah is a strange case, because God comes to him and says, I got a mission for you. Jonah goes, oh, no, oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to do this. Tries to run away on the boat. You know about this. So then there's a storm. People are going, why is there a storm? There must be somebody on the boat who's done something. Jonah's like, it's me. It's me. I'm running from God, which is probably a bad thing. And so he tosses himself over the side of the boat. And he's swallowed by a fish, which he stays in for 3 days, okay? Because he didn't think to book it for any longer. It's like an Airbnb. He said, well, this is nice, but I guess I should have, oh, well, I'm out of here. So he's in there, and it's really a symbolic hell. He's at the depths. They call it Sheol, which is hell, another word for hell. So he's in torment, you know, because he's running from something that God asked him to do. Why is he running? Because he knows that that God is merciful and can do anything. You know, why is he being involved with this? Why does he have to put his reputation on the line and look like an idiot? Because if he goes to the people of Nineveh. And he says you are sinning, you must change your ways, otherwise disaster will happen. All right? And then they do change their ways, he's going to look like a fool because his prediction is not true. So then he's a failed prophet. But see, if they do change their ways, then people will be saved. Lives will be saved. And yet he'll look like an idiot. So this is what happens. He eventually goes, follows his destiny, and does this. And he's so bitter. Oh, he's so bitter. You know? So he finds himself on a beach in the hot sun, and God gives him a gourd plant to cover him up. And then the next day it withers and dies, and he's bitter about that. And God's like, man, I've had it with you. You know, you're mourning things that are temporary, that don't matter. And you forget about saving these people that are lots of lives that are meaningful. And yet you're worried about your standing. You're worried about your appearance. You're worried about yourself. You know, when you've already done this great thing. I mean, why do you care about your name? Why do you care about glory and fame when you just saved a bunch of people? And I think that everyone, this resonates with people, because this is what we encounter in our lives sometimes. Sometimes doing good means not getting credit for it or looking wrong. Man, the whole profession of science is like this. People misunderstand what science is a lot of times. I wish we had better education of just what it means to be a working scientist. Because sometimes you get a hypothesis and you go to figure it out. And then what you do is sometimes you prove yourself wrong. Now, this is necessary to advance understanding. So negative results are actually pretty wonderful because they prove something. You know, if you're going exploring and you're going, well, it's not this way, it's not this way, it's not this way, you have done your job, because now you've eliminated some things and people can go on and look for the right way. All right? Now you say, well, there's no glory in that. I've spent my whole science career finding out that none of the things that I predicted are correct. That's great, actually. That's great. I'm sorry that you're not more recognized for it. You know, we put so much emphasis on being right and not enough emphasis on coming to the truth. And the truth is a wonderful thing. And goodness is a wonderful thing. And you're probably doing more good and more truth than you realize. And those who have a huge name, those who have fame and everything, what have they done? You know, think of the people that are in the news, or think of the entertainers and all. What have they really done? Sometimes inadvertently they do things, but is that what they're setting out to do? So don't worry about it. You know? Look at the lesson of Jonah. If you run from this urge to do right and do good and to be helpful on a small scale, or to even prove yourself wrong, you may find yourself in the belly of a fish in a dark place. And you're not in the dark place because you're not working hard enough to get fame or standing or money or something. You're in the dark place because you're denying your heart, your pure heart that knows what's right, that knows that goodness is right and kindness is right. We've been fighting this battle, the kindness, the crusaders here, and we know that the world so far has never been right, but there's always been people in it fighting for goodness, kindness, justice. All right? And we know sometimes it feels like a losing battle, but we have to get up each day and do it anyway. And you'll never see those people's names in textbooks, or you'll never see those people's names on movie posters, and you'll never see those people's names anywhere, really. We see all the heroes and everything, but they don't do all the work. You know, you don't see the names of all the people that fought for rights around the world, and this country and others. You don't see all those people that dedicated their lives to doing the right thing. You know? So it's better than getting swallowed by that whale. And believe me, oh, there's those of us out here that appreciate it, that understand. We understand. You know? Got to put away other people's values, that the most important thing is power, or the most important thing is fame. It's not important. Those are gourd plants that will, they're going to wither in the noonday sun, and you're going to mourn them. You're going to mourn the loss of attention, or you're going to mourn the loss of professional success, when all it is a plant, a little temporary plant. It's not a life. All right? So I want you to know that, oh my gosh, that there's those of us who stand with you, willing to help you on up and everything. If you help me up, I'll help you up. Help those little tiny prophets that get vomited into your hand. That's never happened to you? What, are you taking drugs? I'm really not. Although I got to tell you, I've been hooked on the nose spray because I can't breathe at night. My allergies are crazy. My ears have been stopped up. I don't feel like I'm complaining. I mean, I'm complaining, but I know that you're probably having this too. So I do turn to the nose spray, which has a bounce back effect where the more you use, the more you need it. But still, I'd rather be able to breathe at night than to stop breathing and die. Like in my dream, gosh, I hope I'm not going to die. I guess soon is relative, right? No, none of us want to perish, but we all do. So I understand that. And I understand that we fear it. And so sometimes we carry the fear with us. And my fear always is... something-ized, what is the word I want to, lessened by the presence of others and the love of others. Really, it really is. I mean, I could be real fearful about something. People go, you need a hug. I go, I need a, well, you know, maybe not literally a hug, but you could sit with me, have tea or something. That'll make me feel better. Oh, I've had so many, I get visitors sometimes and we'll sit on my couch and drink, peppermint tea or whatever the mint is that's growing outside, and it'll be wonderful. And just sit there and talk about nothing. Just being in each other's presence is so much of a joy, isn't it, that we get to experience. I hope that you've enjoyed what I've done on the show. I never know really what to say to you. I guess I just basically speak to myself and my own fears, and I think, well, you know, maybe you are enough like me that that's going to work. I'm sure I say things that are wrong and stupid all the time, but, I would like to encourage you, if there's any young people listening, boys and girls or whatever gender you identify with, I love you. You know, whoever you are, you are smart and capable, I bet, young person. And it'd be wonderful if you didn't cut off some possibilities in your life, like science. And, you know, don't be afraid to do things where people think, well, you're not cut out for that. How do they know? Everybody can contribute. You know, you don't even have to be the best at something. So, well, I don't have an aptitude for this. Do you love it? Yes. Well, do it. I know lots of artists who don't have an aptitude for it. There's room. There really can be. Well, I won't be successful. Work that out. I mean, you know, I don't know. Believe me, there's lots of people that make money at things that they're not necessarily the best at. Okay? So sometimes that doesn't always correlate. So do what you feel called to do. Follow your heart, because not following it can really, really lead you to a dark place, you know? And I know we all have to survive. Do what you can to survive. We all are. But never be somebody you aren't, you know? And sometimes you'll feel very alone doing it. You'll say, well, I feel like I'm by myself. That's because the people that understand you might not be right there. You know, you might be surrounded by people who don't, but believe me, they're there. Keep looking. You're going to find your people always, you know? And so that's why I hope sometimes that my voice will be like that. Say, I'm surrounded with people telling me I can't do things. Hardy, you seem to understand. Well, keep listening to the show. It's free-ish, right? It is free, right? I mean, you can go on, I guess you have to have internet access, but you could conceivably, you know, it'd be nice occasionally to give money to the radio station, but I mean, it's basically free. I'm not charging you anything. I'm not charging them or anything. So I can be that. I'll help you be a cane until you get your proper legs. I don't mind. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm following my heart. Now, could I be a big fancy radio personality? Could you be a successful internationally known DJ or something? Are you doing this instead of probably not. That's the thing. Again, it's the old King of England thing. I don't know that if I decided tomorrow, you know what, I'm gonna sell out and be crass and just care about my own. I don't even know if I had the skills to do that. I probably couldn't do it. So I've been blessed. Because, you know, humility has been thrust upon me. I didn't have to go seeking it out, which is wonderful. So, but who knows? Maybe I would. Maybe if I had gone on and wanted to shock people or make people angry or mock people or something, whatever those popular things are to do. But I bet I would fail at it. I don't even think I'd be good at it. So I'm so lucky is the way I look at it. Oh, I'm so glad that you were with me today. I can't believe we get to spend this time together. I get to do silly things with you. I'm so blessed. What are you listening to? Well, me. Where? On WFMU, which I cannot say enough good things about. What a fantastic station. So you are, let me get this part out. You are listening to WFMU. You're listening. I'm sorry. I took something to help me sleep. You're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in miraculous Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Oh my gosh, we're so blessed to be together, and so many great things to hear on this station. Don't forget that. It can be a wonderful island for you. If you're going to be vomited up on any beach, WFMU is the beach upon which, up with which you cannot vomit. You should be vomited up. I don't know. I'm sorry. Wow. Don't say vomit again. You're going to make somebody sick. I'm sorry. Don't do that. Stop it, Hardy. I'm just funning with you. All right, well, there's many, many good things coming up. And I was at the end of my show, I always want to sing Kevin's theme song. Someday I'll call him and I'll say, I'll just sing it. And we'll just have a seamless transition of shows. Sometimes that'd be funny. I forget how it goes. I'll look it up. It's called at the Sinner's Crossroads is the name of the song and the show, if you're wondering. That I have one less FAQ now. All right, my friends, wonderful to be with you, and I will see you again next week. Understand you.
If you're worn and weary, tired, no place to go,
seeking a temporary balm, you've come to no better place than the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast. Stay tuned for the healing sounds of the gospel music. Sugg Brothers, every time I listen to that, I think it's White Boys. I don't know. When I Get Home on the Beverly record label, 1961. And right before that, we heard Bill Moss and the Celestials. That's All I Want on the Adele.